Thank you, Brother Matt, and good morning, brothers and sisters. I'm glad you all remembered to come and join up with us this fine morning, especially all our visitors. My exhortation this morning is going to be on memory, which is honestly a rather important and fascinating subject. Memory is really integral to who we are, because in some ways you can say who I am is largely the sum of my prior experiences. And knowing what has happened before really determines who I am. People who have amnesia, who lose their memories, often feel like a part of their life has been robbed from them because they've lost part of who they are. They can't remember what had happened. And amnesia does happen. Memory, as core as it is to who we are, is actually not always as reliable as we would hope it would be. You see this a lot in eyewitness testimony for court cases, where an eyewitness will say that this person did it, and then the DNA testimony comes out later, and they find out that's not actually what happened. Eyewitness testimony is actually notoriously unreliable. And in fact, not only can memories be shifted, but sometimes they can even be created that for events that never existed in the first place. There's this whole class you can read about of what they call false memories, where people have, this was really popular in about like the 80s, 90s, where they started doing these hypnosis sessions and what they called like guided imagery recall sort of things, where they tried to resurrect people's memories from when they were really young. And they would come up with these crazy stories of like satanic rituals and stuff that then they like looked at the evidence and found out it could never have happened. But somehow these people had created memories of it. Memory's crazy. So memory, I can talk a lot about all the crazy things about memory. One more thing though, and something that I found kind of interesting, is that everyone knows that over time your memories fade. I knew how to differentiate and integrate every trigonometric equation back in a second year university. I can't do it now. But an interesting thing is that how quickly those memories fade actually depends on whether they're positive memories or negative memories. Our negative memories will fade quicker than our positive memories. So if you had an experience that contained both positive elements and negative elements, over time, your memory of that experience will get more and more positive because your memory of the negative experience will actually fade faster than your memory of the positive bits. And this is actually something we see in Numbers 11. So in Numbers 11, it's talking about how the children of Israel were in the wilderness and all they had to eat was manna. And manna, honestly, it sounds pretty good. It says it tasted sort of like cakes made with olive oil. I'm not the biggest fan of olives, but apparently it wasn't too bad, and they made it in all sorts of different things. But I can understand them getting a little tired of it if all you had to eat every day was manna. But they're not only tired of it, they're also thinking back to how much better things were in Egypt. So if you read in Numbers 11, verses 4 to 6, "Now the rabble that was among them had a strong craving, and the people of Israel also wept again and said, 'Oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt. It cost nothing. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at.'" So they were remembering back in Egypt, and they were remembering how good the food was, which is a positive memory. And they could remember that one fairly clearly about how they could eat as much fish as they wanted, and now that they were stuck in the wilderness, there wasn't even any water around to fish in. But the thing is other things happen in Egypt as well. Things like them being slaves and not being just like, you know, honored slaves or something. They had to do hard physical labor in the sun all the time. And really horrible stuff like their sons being thrown into the Nile River to be killed. Really bad things happened while they were in Egypt. But they weren't thinking about those things. They were thinking about the positive things. And that's sort of a danger, is they ended up with a bit of a skewed view of what things were like in Egypt by this point, because Egypt had had positive things, but it had negative things that were far worse than the positive things. But their memories had faded to the point where, because the negative memories had faded faster than their positive ones, they're looking back on Egypt and remembering it more as a positive thing. And that's a little scary. They should have been able to remember how bad Egypt was, and even though the food was bad, it was really good, other things have been bad. And also, if they'd had a good memory, you would have thought they would have remembered how, when things had been bad in Egypt, then God had taken care of them. How there'd been all these plagues and things that God had sent to deliver them from Egypt, and that they had this really strong God who they didn't have to remember the fact they were following this cloud around in the wilderness. So you'd think that they might remember that and think of, well, God saved us then, God can save us now. But they didn't do that. They were just complaining about this manna and how they were tired of it. And the funny thing is, it wasn't just the people of Israel who forgot that God could save. Moses forgot that God could save. In Numbers 11, verses 21 to 23, just a little bit further down, God tells Moses that he's going to send them so much meat that they're going to eat it for a month. And Moses goes, verse 21, "Here I am with 600,000 foot soldiers around me. Yet you say, I will give them meat to eat for a whole month? Would they have enough if all the flocks and herds were butchered for them? Would they have enough if all the fish in the sea were caught for them?" Moses isn't trusting God. He's going, there's no way you can do this. And I love God's answer. He's just, is there a limit to the Lord's power? Now you will see whether or not my words come true. In the version that was read this morning, it was, has God's arms become short? I get this image of like T-Rex arms. And like, this is clearly the God who brought them out of Egypt, who brought these 10 plagues on like Egypt, who killed all the firstborn, who's been feeding them with manna, who's been leading them around with a cloud. Clearly God has not lost his power. But for some reason, this wasn't clicking for Moses that God could do this. And I think part of what's going on here is I've noticed in school, I might learn something, but I might miss how it can be applied in different ways. So for instance, in math, I can learn how to do systems of equations where, you know, we get these X's and Y's, and if I have two equations and two unknowns, then I can solve for X and Y. And then on the test, she asked me this question about, how do you make 32.75 out of quarters, nickels, and dimes if I have double the number of quarters as dimes? And I'm like, I don't know how to do this. Now, it turns out that like quarters, nickels, and dimes thing is actually just a system of equations. And you go, oh, okay, 25 times the number of quarters plus 10 times the number of dimes, and you make two equations and you can solve it. But the first time you look at it, you're like, what does this have to do with anything we ever learned? This isn't like a business or an economics class. I don't have to make change. We just learned about like this X and Y and math stuff. And so the problem here is you might have learned the general concept, but in a different context, you're missing how to apply it. And I think that's sort of what happened to Moses here and to the children of Israel in general. They knew God could deliver them from the Egyptians. They'd seen God part the Red Sea and bring it back down on the Egyptians. They saw, but they hadn't seen God, you know, provide a bunch of meat. So they didn't make the connection that the God who is powerful enough to deliver them from the Egyptians, the God who is powerful enough to send manna every day, might also be able to send them a bunch of meat. And that's a little bit scary as well, because these problems that we see happening to the Israelites are problems we can have too. There's nothing different for the Israelites about this looking back on previous events and forgetting the bad things and only remembering the good things. I was reading a bunch of studies about it just yesterday. That happens to people now. This stuff about learning about God in one context, but forgetting he still has that same power in another context, that happens to us now. I have the questions wrong on my test to prove that I didn't always understand how concepts could be applied in different contexts. So the question is we have these problems with our memory. What can we do about it? How can we not make the same mistakes that the children of Israel made when they were in the wilderness? And one of the things that is really handy if you want to remember something and remember it accurately is something that probably you all learned in school, and that's review before the test. And actually, it's not just review. I read this really interesting book called Use Your Head that was talking about how to, like, not just study, but study well, because it turns out if you, with almost anything, if you do it smarter rather than harder, you can actually do a better job. And one of the points the book made was that just trying to cram everything right beforehand doesn't work as well as, like, small bits over time. Because the way our memory works is when we first hear something, it starts to, like, seep out of our memory. But if you review it, then it comes back up. And after you've reviewed it once, it seeps out slower. Then if you review it again, it seeps out even slower. So he had this nice little chart where he showed, like, if you review after, like, 30 minutes, then it seeps out of your memory, like, this fast. But then if you do it again after a day, then it'll seep out this fast, and then this fast. And by doing, like, little bits of studying every day, as opposed to just trying to do a ton of studying right before, you don't have to relearn it all, because it'll still be in your memory, and you'll have trained your memory that this is something that it needs to remember. So with our memories, reviewing, and not just reviewing once, but as a sort of continuous thing, is a great way for helping us to remember stuff. And God clearly knows this, because when he was developing, if you read in the Law of Moses, he has all these memory aids that he gives them. So thank you for the musical accompaniment. But things like the Passover, for instance. He had them celebrate the Passover every single year. Why did he have them celebrate the Passover? So they could remember what had happened when they'd come out of Egypt. If they hadn't reviewed, then they would forget. But because he had them review every single year, then they would remember that this is what happened when they came out of Egypt, because they were doing review. And as Christians, what do we do every single week? We remember the death of our Lord. Why do we do this? So that we can remember. If we didn't review this every week, we would probably forget. But because we review it, it almost becomes old hat. We know exactly what happens during that part of the memorial service because we've seen it every single week of our lives for years. By reviewing it a lot, you can remember things, and it works really well. And that's why God, in his law, in his commandments, has given us lots of memory aids of things that we should just keep doing, because by reviewing it over and over, we remember it. But it's not just remembering it. As I said before, you can remember that God led, like the Israelites knew very well that God had led them out of Egypt. But it's also understanding how this can apply to new circumstances that come up. This sort of reapplication. So I can remember, oh, I've done my Bible readings, I remember God delivered these Israelites out of Egypt. But now I have a problem in my life, like, I don't know, I crashed my car and I can't get to school. And that's a completely different situation, and I don't know how God could ever deal with that. And I mean, obviously, that's garbage. The same God who could deliver Israel can also deliver me. And he knows about cars. They didn't have them back in Bible times, but God still exists. And he knows he can help me now, just as he helped the Israelites back then. But sometimes that sort of jump is hard to make, taking what you've learned in other circumstances and applying it to your current context. But what I found in school is that if your teacher shows you how to do that, it becomes really obvious. So with the dimes, nickels, and quarters question, after the teacher's like, oh, it's just a systems of equations, so you 25 times your number of dimes plus 5 times your number of nickels, and you make these two equations and you solve, and you're like, oh, I know how to do that. Once you've shown the key, then, like, every dimes, nickel, quarter question I come across from then on, I'm like, I know how to do this. So having someone to teach you and to take sort of things that you've learned elsewhere and apply it to new circumstances is really important. Having a teacher really helps if you want to learn how to do this. And fortunately, we've been given teachers as well. In fact, that's sort of what our job as exhorters on Sunday mornings is to do, is to help take these things that we've read about in the Bible and apply them to our lives now. And, I mean, it's not just on Sunday mornings, it's also Bible classes and Sunday school and all these other things. The reason why we actually change what we say every Sunday is because we're trying to take what we've learned in the Bible and apply it to our lives now. If we just did the breaking of bread and had it like a very rote service, which was the same thing every time, believe me, you would remember everything that happened because you'd see it every week. But it, you would have a hard time applying it to your life now because that's that thing over there, and I have my own problems which don't seem to be addressed. So I think our memorial service, actually, is a really great combination of things to help us with this whole memory problem that we saw with the Israelites in the wilderness. You have the memory problem of forgetting things and forgetting and getting sort of a skewed view of them over time. So in our memorial service, we do things like we read from the Bible so we get the exact words about what happened, not just what you kind of remember in the past. We do things like the breaking of bread, where we have a service that we do every single week that's repetitive, that we remember exactly what happened. But we also have bits where we apply it to our life now, where we change things up, where we have an exhortation, which is different every week. And you might not be able to remember my exhortation that I did before because I don't do the same one every time, but it's probably a good thing I don't do the same one every time, even if you would remember it better that way, because life changes and you have to learn different things as life goes on. So we have this combination. We have some things that you do the same thing every time to remember it better, and then other things where you change it up depending on the current circumstances. And when we do the Bible readings, I think sort of the same principle applies really well. When we do our Bible readings, you can read the Bible and then you get a refresher on what happened in those times. But I think it's also important to discuss it afterwards and see how does this apply to our life now. Because if you just read it, you remember it really well, but you don't apply it. And by discussing it afterwards and being like, what does this mean? Then you can take that and sort of help teach each other on how this applies to the problems and situations we're facing now. Because sometimes it's hard when you read about people thousands of years ago and wonder, what does this mean now? So my basic message from this exhortation is that we do have issues as human beings. Our memories are not particularly good and they have errors. But we can compensate for that, and God has given us great ways of doing that. He's given us examples of things in the Bible that we can read about, and he's made things to be memory aids. He's given us a gift, I think, by giving us this commandment to do the breaking of bread every Sunday. And so as we move on to that part of this service, try and remember what happened. That's the whole point. Do this in remembrance of me. Try and remember what happened to Jesus. But also try not only to remember what happened, but also to try and think, how does it apply to me now? God didn't just give us this to have something that we know in our brain, but also because it teaches us lessons and can help us deal with things now, so that we don't end up like the Israelites, complaining about how God can't help us now, even though he clearly has been helping us in other ways, because we don't remember it. Thank you.